Hello and welcome to A Vague Idea. This is a comedy trivia podcast. I'm Nate Regolia. Each week, we subject our guests to a list of topics to find out if they have a vague idea. With me, as always, is Shannon Page. Shannon!
Hey!
Hey! How are you doing in quarantine land?
Good. I'm sitting on the patio. The sun is out. I don't have to leave my house.
It's yeah. Great. Yeah, you have a nice balcony that overlooks the city and everything. That's fun. It's a good spot.
I wish I could invite you over.
I know, right? If ever we get to a point where it seems like that's safe again, I'll definitely come by and hang out. We could record another episode there. That would be nice.
How have you been holding up?
Oh, you know, I mean, I think we're doing okay. Listener, this is our first episode recorded during, we're about 30 minutes into Denver's full-on shelter-in-place order, so we are locked down in the strictest sense. And yeah, you know, I kind of go back and forth, honestly. Like, I'm doing okay because I still have work from home to do, which is good. But, you know, it's... you know, I take the dogs out for a walk and I'm kind of anxious while I'm doing that, kind of relaxed, kind of anxious, back and forth, all that kind of jazz. I don't know. It's weird. It's a weird time to be existing.
Yeah, that's definitely an understatement, I think.
Yeah, yeah. And just, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm trying to not pay attention to social media, but I'm also spending a lot more time on social media because I don't really have any other way to interact with a lot of different people. So it's been nuts. Because stuff is scary, and some people are not particularly good at leading us through this time. How are you holding up?
I'm doing pretty good. I can work from home, no problem. So I'm really lucky. I'm really privileged in that case. And so, job-wise, business as usual for us. Since I'm a computer person, we already had all the methods to work from home. So that was lucky. Yeah, I'm taking the dog for a walk. I went to visit my mom yesterday, so I guess I'm not completely socially isolating. But she's been inside for like 12 days, so she was going crazy.
Wow. Yeah. How's she doing other than going crazy?
Good. I mean, good. I think everybody's going a little stir crazy right now, but that's what teleconferencing is for. I've had a couple Zoom happy hours and a lot of phone calls and a lot of texts.
Yeah. Yeah. It's weird. It's weird how all those things, especially phone calls, especially talking on the phone. I've had a couple of phone calls where I'm just like, oh yeah, it is nice to talk to people after all that time being like, no, you know, I really would rather just you text me and get it over with. So yeah. I mean, maybe we'll roll the clock back on that and we'll all just get rotary phones.
Calls are good too. I highly recommend that for anybody who doesn't have Zoom set up or Google Hangouts or any of those video ones. It's nice to see faces too.
Oh yeah, yeah. And you know, next time we could test it where we're actually doing the video component on this, because I would, you know, I think that'd be fun. It'd be fun to see each other in all of our, well, my unshowered glory today anyway. I haven't gotten around anything yet.
I think I've washed my hair once since all this started.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, what's the point? You just we're kind of just you know, we're subsistence now.
I live alone too, so my dog doesn't care. He prefers it probably.
Yeah, Xander's like, oh, good, you smell consistently. Finally, feel comfortable and safe. How's Xander doing?
Oh, he's okay. The listeners probably don't want to hear that Xander's been having some stomach issues.
Oh no, still.
Still, it's been now.
Oh geez. Oh, that's not fun.
Yeah, my latest theory is that he can pick up on vibes and that I'm making him nervous. So I'm trying to be chill.
That, I mean, I can tell, like, Rocket and Toby both definitely seem more anxious from just kind of our energies and you know, like no stomach issues on this end yet, luckily, but I can tell like, you know, they're both on edge a little bit more. They're both barking at people walking down the hallway more, stuff like that. So,
oh, really?
Yeah. So it's been, it's interesting. And it's hard because there's no way to explain to these animals what's going on and why we can't go on longer walks, or, you know, why there's immediate hand washing all the time. Not that they probably care about that, but hey, you know, dogs know things.
They know. They can sense it.
So this week we're going to talk about, we have one single topic, which is the Netflix reality television show Love is Blind that Jenny and I watched. We binged over the last, about the last week. We are currently watching Tiger King, which, Shannon, if you're not watching Tiger King, you got to start watching Tiger King.
I am not watching Tiger King.
I'm going to say you have to watch Tiger King. I mean, because we're going to talk about, and Love is Blind, we'll be fine. But Tiger King is like a whole other level of all the things. It is bonkers, cuckoo bananas, amazing the whole time. And I think we're like only halfway through. It's phenomenal. It's about how there's like lots and lots of people who keep hundreds of wild cats in this country. Specifically the titular Tiger King, who runs operates an Oklahoma-based zoo that had like 300 and something tigers and leopards and lions and shit like that. So totally cool. I love what freedom does for people.
I have to say, so I'm someone who prefers to stay home as much as possible, and I watch a lot of TV, and I am loving this because everyone that's always out and doing stuff is now in my world, and I'm getting so many good TV recommendations.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's like everybody's like been going to the club, and now they're all standing in line to get into your club, and you're like, you're cool, come here. What do you got? What do you got for me? Yeah, I guess we can let you in.
Like, welcome to the Sofa TV Club.
I mean, it, you know what I've noticed too, because during this, just I mean, I did some Dungeons and Dragons over the weekend over Zoom, so like, I can do that stuff still. And, you know, other than just kind of the seeing people in person stuff, like it's not really a whole lot different. it's more the fear that we'll run out of food or alcohol at some point, and then I'll have to go out and get sick to get it. But I've also watched a lot of zombie things, so that could be part of the precipitating issue.
Oh, yeah. So we can talk about Love is Blind. I'm going to have to talk about some of the movies I've been watching.
Great. Let's talk about the other stuff at the end.
I've been binging on pandemic zombie-related movies.
Ooh. All right. I mean, hey, maybe what we should do. Idea.
Save this for another show.
No. I think you should talk about them briefly and then assign a couple to me to watch for next week, and then on next week's show you can be more point host and we can talk about those.
Oh, I like it.
At greater length. What do you think of that?
I like it.
We're gonna have to get ourselves through this somehow, and listeners, we know you love us so much.
All right.
So Love is Blind. How much have you watched? Did you watch a lot?
I've only watched the first episode, but I have read about it on social media to death because
I've been
reading it than I did watching it.
Did you happen to see, Jenny and I saw a very funny meme that said that the coronavirus is happening because Jessica is 34 and Mark is 24? which was very hilarious. Yeah. Oh, Jessica.
I've read some conspiracy theories that say that The Circle and Love is Blind were put on Netflix just before this happened to prepare us for it happening.
Because we're all so good at following the edicts of reality TV shows.
we're all like prepared with the idea of how to live within a bubble without leaving our apartments now.
I mean, and that would be great if Love is Blind spent a lot of time on it, but they spent most of the show not being in the whatever they called them. I don't even remember what they called them now, the pods.
The pods.
Yeah, but they were in the pods for like two total episodes, and then the rest of it, it's like, okay, now you're in Mexico. Now you're planning your wedding. Now you're arguing about nonsense because, I mean, it's a reality dating marriage program. Let's prompt the listener real quick. So Love is Blind is a Netflix dating show that operates. It's hosted by Nick Lachey and Vanessa Lachey.
Obviously.
And, And Nick Lachey, yeah, Nick Lachey says, I'm Nick Lachey, obviously, every time, as if, like, I don't know, Shannon, does Nick Lachey have a lot of cultural cachet left, or
no, is it just me? No. Who watching the show even knew who he was, other than, like, the few of us that were alive during the Jessica and Nick show?
Right. Well, it's like, because, like, 98 Degrees is the thing that I would jump to first, because I never watched the Jessica and Nick show, but I know that they were married, but she was always the person, like, she was always the interesting one, what with the, is tuna, fish, chicken of the sea, et cetera.
Yeah, no, it would be like if Kevin Federline was hosting a show right now. Who the hell would know who he is?
Right, they'd be like, and I'm Kevin Federline, of course.
You're famous because you were married to someone famous.
Yeah. Tangential fame. So anyway, so this show is hosted by those two people, and the premise is that a group of people have to go into these, so the men are separated from the women, they are isolated, and they date each other in these things called pods, where they just talk through a wall that looks like a 1960s Star Trek special effect. It's just kind of like a sparkly panel between them. But they talk to each other, and then they fall in love, and the only way that they can see and meet each other in person then is to propose and become engaged to be married. And then we follow all the couples who get engaged, which there's only like five couples who get engaged out of what seemed like 40 people in the rooms. So kind of missed out on learning about any of those other people, but I guess we picked the right ones. I don't know.
I read that the producers of the show were expecting one couple at most to actually get engaged, and that they had a lot more time allotted to watching the people in the pods talk to each other. But then when it actually happened, the social experiment happened, so many people got engaged that they had to like cut the pod time down so that they could actually focus on all the couples that got engaged. And you'll probably know this. Apparently there's even one couple that got engaged that like we didn't even follow around because they just ran out of, they didn't have enough episodes allotted to follow everybody around. Like it was, the producers were freaking out about how successful this was.
Oh my God. See, that's okay. So I don't know what couple they didn't follow around unless it's Carlton and Diamond who blew up in Mexico, over Carlton's, bisexuality. But yeah, because otherwise they showed us who got engaged, and I was kind of surprised that there were five different couples of people who got engaged, but that's who we followed, and then we only really spent two episodes in pods, and then we were out in it. We were out in the world, you know?
Here we go. I'm looking it up right now. Two couples you didn't see on Love is Blind also got engaged. Let's see if I can tell you who they are. Wesley and Lexi?
Oh, wow. Okay.
And sorry, I'm scanning this as quickly as I can. Rory and Danielle.
Okay.
So they actually did get engaged on the show, but I guess they didn't have very interesting stories, so they didn't get followed around afterwards. So yeah, the being in a pod and getting engaged to somebody you've never seen before model is apparently got a better engagement rate than Bumble or Tinder.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, out of the people involved and really, like, okay, to be clear, we're going to spoil some stuff. So if you want to watch this show, don't listen for the whole thing. Cause we're going to tell you what happens, but also maybe you don't need to watch it. Maybe you're going to watch it anyway. Cause really, like, this is one of those reality shows where it's just a delightful train wreck most of the time. So, You're in there for the roller coaster. You know that at the end of the roller coaster you don't die, but you still ride it anyway. That's what this is about. But yeah, that's nuts because they really did have what, like, two of the couples actually got married at the end of this.
Yeah, this is eight. There were eight engaged couples. We watched six of them, their journeys, and two actually did get married.
Yeah, which is nuts. And a third was still together, even though they didn't get married very dramatically on the wedding episode. So yeah, you know, this show is wild because, you know, for one, while we're in the pods, there's this whole thing about Barnett or bust. And I don't know, have you seen pictures of Barnett, or do you remember what Barnett looks like?
Oh, yeah. Remind me what his,
Was he the scientist? No, Cameron was the scientist.
Yeah,
right?
Barnett's an engineer, and he was the guy who was like, he was like really kind of waffling between four or five different women in the beginning of the show. Right.
Like all the women were in love with him, and it's like women in love with a guy named Barnett.
Yeah, who's his real name is Matthew. We find out later in the show his last name is Barnett, which is just like, come on, dude, you're not someone who goes by the last name.
That makes a lot more sense. I feel a lot better about that, actually.
Yeah, yeah, it's comforting, especially in these dark times. But yeah, so there's this whole thing called, you know, we're for at least two episodes, we're hanging on the drama of Barnett or bust, because Jessica and Amber and Elsie and someone else are all into Barnett, and they're all just, it's neck and neck. Who's he gonna go with, right? And that whole thing kind of just sets up like the chaos of Jessica in general, which are you familiar with Jessica?
Oh yeah, she's the batshit one.
Yeah, yeah. So she's like, one, immediately batshit on the show, because her like introduction is, hey, so I'm a very successful person and I always reject people. So I decided that what I would do is come on here, because then I can't have any standards, and that way I'll just meet somebody that I would never want to meet normally, and that'll work out because I'm totally seem like a person who can chill and not meddle in my own affairs. And she immediately proves herself completely wrong.
Wait, you got to add one more thing to that, though. I think her thing is, I'm a really successful person. And
yeah.
She's yes. got a little baby voice, right?
It is baby voice, high inflection on the end for sure. For
only when she's in the pod. When she's talking to other women, she has a regular voice. But when she's in the pod, she talks like this, because I'm a sexy baby.
Okay, now we've got the title of the episode. I'm a sexy baby. So here's the thing, because the whole Mark and Jessica thing plays out over the course of, you know, they end up getting engaged. Mark is head over heels in love with Jessica through the pod, and Jessica seems to be, and you get a lot of these reality show fake out things that happen, you know, where he proposes and Jessica just sort of like seems to fall down against the couch, and then we get a long pause where she's like crying, and then she finally says yes in an awkward way. But this poor Mark, as we alluded to earlier, like Jessica is age 34 on the show, Mark is age 24 on the show, and this is such a huge problem for Jessica that it is like the cause of and solution to all of her problems with what's going on. So here's a question for you, Shannon. How much would a 10-year age gap matter to you? Like if you were 34 and you were dating or engaged to a guy who was 24, like could you see that happening? Would you just be like, no, that's not gonna work? What's your opinion?
Yeah, no, I'd be fine with that. I mean, especially if I remember correctly, he was a lot more mature than she was.
Yeah, he's like in it the whole time.
And he kind of had his shit together while she was kind of a mess. And yeah, I think it would be fine. I feel like it would be weird because I would reference things that happened to me when I was in high school. And that person would be like, oh, I was 4 when that happened, or I was 7 when that happened. And I'd be like, that's weird. But other than that, I'd be like, around it.
They'd be like, but Shannon, what's a Stone Temple Pilot?
Yeah.
You have so much to explain.
The closest experience I have is that I had a really good friend who was, I want to say like 13 years younger than me at one point. And I remember them saying that they liked the music I listened to because it reminded them of what their parents played when they would drive around with them when they were a kid.
Oh, shit.
That kind of freaked me out.
Yeah. I mean, then you're kind of in a weird, like, Harry Chapin, Cats in the Cradle sort of situation. That would be uncomfortable.
That was not somebody I was dating, though. That was just a friend. So
still. Yeah. Oh my God.
I had another friend that was way younger than me that also music related said that he knew the music that I listened to because his cousin also listened to really old rap.
Nice. That's
I just played like Tupac at the time.
You're like, yeah, you mean like mid-generation rap? Like 20 years into what hip-hop became?
Yeah. Oh, I had a lot of coworkers for a while that were like 10 to 15 years younger than me, and there were cultural differences. But other than that, like, it was fine. Like, we all had stuff in common. We were, you know, interested in the same thing. So once you get past, like, those, like, cultural references, it was no big deal at all.
Yeah, I think that's the thing, right? Because I feel the same way. I mean, I could easily date someone 10 years older or 10 years younger. And it's more based on, like, individual maturity, right? Like, you can't date or be engaged to someone who isn't interested in doing that. But that has nothing to do with age.
Yeah.
And that's what's so perplexing about Jessica's stance, because she is clearly the one who is not interested the whole fucking time, but she keeps trying to make the age difference and some sort of perceived social, you know, judgment as the reason why she can't do it. It's too much. And it drove me nuts the whole time, because, well, it actually reminded me of a rough relationship that I had where, you know, the woman I was dating was not as committed as I was. And so it was that sort of thing where I kept being the mark and like, hey, look, that was a weird night, but we're good. We're so good together. I know you said awful things to me about other people that you wanted to be with, but let's just power through, you know, let's just try to do this. And especially because Jessica is trying to get with Barnett through the whole show, gets super sloppy drunk a couple of times and is going behind people's backs to talk to Barnett and pull like, so you don't really want to be with Amber, do you? Are you sure? But in the sexy baby voice that you did before, I don't know if you want to do that.
Yeah, you got it.
So yeah, so we got that. We got okay, let's I want to talk about the Carlton Diamond blow up thing. Which, did you read about that? Are you familiar?
I am aware that they were a couple, but that's about it.
So yeah, so they basically like they fall in love in the pods, and then Carlton kind of reveals to the audience that he's bisexual. He's been with men and women before. And he hasn't told Diamond that. So he finally goes to tell her, but he waits until they're in Mexico. So they're already engaged, and they're already kind of on the next step. And he's all nervous about telling her this thing, which I get. It's a big deal. And he tells her, and it basically leads to the dissolution of the thing. Now, neither person handles the situation well, but I wanted to ask you, would finding something out like that after the fact, especially given that the we're talking a timeline that's very crunched here, like this is condensed where these people have known each other a week when they get engaged, maybe two, and then they are on week three when they find out, oh my God, you didn't tell me that? What else are you hiding from me? Which was basically Diamond's sort of thing. And then she quoted Beyonce a lot, which was funny and everybody liked that. But how would you feel about that? Like if you had been in a relationship with somebody on a very short time frame, and then they were like, hey, here's what you need to know about me, and I know I maybe misrepresented myself by not saying this before, but I've been with all kinds of people, but I like you and I want to marry you.
So here's my thought on this, is that from what I understand, even though that for the viewers it was only two episodes of being in the pods, that they did talk to each other for like 12 hours a day.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah.
12 hours a day is a long time to talk to somebody.
No, exactly. Like, and I'm only That's going fair. Off what I've read, but yeah. But that basically once they narrowed it down to like the two or three people they wanted to talk to, that's all they did all day, was just go into this pod and talk to this person. So okay. I think that even though it was a short romance, if you can call it that, that there was a lot of talking. And that I think it would be surprising to find out that something like that hadn't come up before the engagement. And I think that that's up there with stuff like, you know, I don't want to have, you know, about kids and like where you want to live. And like, I just think there's things you should talk about before you get engaged. And that's
a good point. I didn't think about it being that much time. Like if you're talking to somebody for 12 hours a day 5 days. Even if you talk to somebody for 60 hours consecutive in a week, like, yeah, you should tell them stuff like that.
And so
why wouldn't you?
It's not the subject matter itself, but it's the level of subject matter that hadn't been brought up before.
Yeah, yeah. No, that totally makes sense to me. Because, yeah, that is the sort of thing that would really matter given that much. And I think that's a failing of the show, producers, for season two. You need to spend a little more time showing how much they're spending in the pods, because it's a lot of quick cuts. Jumping around, it feels like you're just getting, you know, everything feels a lot more shallow that way, which also, I mean, that makes everybody's heartbreaks worse.
Yeah, well, like, wasn't there, I mean, I only watched the first episode, but I feel like there was a couple that got engaged, like, in the first 20 minutes.
Yeah, that was Cameron and Lauren. Lauren and Cameron got engaged, like, right away. And they're sweet, because they managed to put it all together. They make it work. Spoilers. They get married at the end, and it's great because it actually sort of proves that there's some aspect of the show that has a good heart. It isn't just chasing the destruction.
I do feel like if what I've read is correctly. So let's see. The cast spent 10 days in the pod, and it started with 50 people, but a bunch of people were sent home after nobody said that they wanted to talk to them anymore. And
ouch.
Yeah.
I mean, that's devastating right there. Like, oh, wow. I'm that uninteresting to people.
Nobody wants to talk to you. Go
literally
home.
No one wants to talk to me anymore.
Yeah. Here's another article. How many grueling hours did they spend in those pods? Sometimes they had up to 19 to 20 hours in a pod with one person.
Do they get meals served in the pods? Is that listed? That's a long time.
So not only are they having to go on 20-hour dates, but they're starving the whole time. But that's a good thing to know. You should know what your potential partner is going to be like when they're hangry.
Well, that's true. That's true. Also, I think what I'm wondering about, and maybe this is a season two thing, so I don't want to spoil anything for the team, but was there pod sex? Like phone sex, but in the pods.
Yeah.
Because people are making connections. Everybody's cooped up in this weird office building, I guess. They're in like a server room is what it looks like. And you just go to your box, go to your cubicle and talk to your person. That's insane. Like, it's really, I guess I wish that the show spent a little more time on the experiment and a little less time on the traditional reality show thing, just because there is something really, really intriguing about the idea of people all being locked away talking for like 19 or 20 hours a day to each other.
Only watched the first episode. I thought that's what the whole show is going to be. I have to admit, I'm surprised that it was only two episodes like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, because then they're vacationing in Mexico, and then they're doing, like, then it's all just traditional reality show stuff. Like, we're getting in an argument about why you're distant, and so-and-so's too drunk, and we're going to go meet each other's parents, and then we're going to go talk to our siblings, and our siblings are going to say things that are cliche, like, are you sure you want to get married to someone who you met on a reality show? This is for life, you know? And I get it, like, but it's also really silly because it's so, I don't know, like if the, yeah, I don't know. I guess like if the premise of the show is to see how many people will just get married sight unseen. And I mean, it's not like they win any prize money. So there's no like anti-sanctity of marriage argument there, but there is something about like, hey, if you're going to participate in this, like, aren't you already kind of interested in just doing something? Which is basically what Jessica says.
I'm getting engaged no matter what.
Yeah. Oh my God. And like on the wrap up show, like Jessica does a very political, like politician style walk back of everything she's done, but she also doesn't apologize for anything. She's just sort of like, well, you know, watching it later, I definitely made some mistakes. It's like, come on. So right, this is
that the dates were organized for them, and at the end of a day, they would rate who they liked the most and the least, and then the producer would use those rankings to figure out dates for the next day. And then as days went on, the length of the dates went longer, but the number of people you saw went down.
Oh, okay.
So basically, yeah, you'd be like, I want to talk to these four people again. And then the next time they would just set it up for that.
So it's, yeah, so it's basically just like a speed dating situation, but everybody's in pods instead of face to face.
Yeah. Huh. And this is that if you got put into a pod with somebody that you weren't necessarily interested in, sometimes they would take naps.
That's great. What an inspiring and confidence building exercise to have someone snoring on the other side of a wall while you're talking about, I don't know, your cat or something. I don't know. What would bore people that much? Oh my God. It's not this podcast, is it?
Someone's taking a nap right now.
Right. Well, hey, you know, and honestly, like I fall asleep to podcasts a lot, so I would be honored. I would be honored to be your sleepy buddy. So let's see. We got those people.
Yeah. So to go back, you were talking about the couple where the guy didn't tell his fiance that he was bisexual ahead of time.
Yeah.
I don't think that given the short amount, because it sounds like it was only 10 days. So within 10 days, that's not a thing that you would necessarily bring up, but given the amount of hours they spent talking, I feel like that's something that should have come up. But also it could be one of those things, like some people find it very important and some people don't find it important at all. So.
Right. And that's, I mean, I think part of the thing was, is he definitely found it important because he brought up several times how he was kind of agonizing over being afraid to tell her, which I can't remember if he brought up, you know, biases and things like that, but.
And that's my thought is, I feel like if there's something you're nervous to bring up to somebody before you propose to them, you should definitely bring it up before you propose to them.
Right, because they're going to have an answer at some point, and either you never say it, never bring it up, or.
I want 5 kids, or, you know, I sleep with the light on. Like, no matter what the issue is, if it's like something that you are like, this is something I need to have an answer on before I marry you, then you bring it up at some point.
I mean, if you have a prehensile tail, let them know. They might think it's cute. Plus, you could carry things with it. So that's exciting.
Well, and I don't necessarily think that it even has to be something like that. I mean, it could be something silly like, I only drink red wine and I'm only ever going to drink red wine for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Is that cool?
Yeah. And if someone's like, no, I can't do that. I'm going to try to push rosé on you every single night. And you'd be like, okay, well, this isn't going to work.
Yeah. If there's a thing, if there's anything, you should bring it up before you propose to someone.
Yeah. People, communication is key. That's what it's about. It's about honesty. It's about communication. And it's about honest communication.
Yeah. I would say it's the same if he was going to be like, oh, by the way, I'm vegan. Like, maybe bring that up.
Though I would guess that if he mentioned that he was vegan in Mexico, she wouldn't have broken up with him.
You never know.
Yeah, it could be, yeah. Maybe she's like, I come from a long line of barbecuers and this will not stand.
Yeah, I mean, you never know. You never know.
Let's see. So you got Barnett and Amber end up together. Amber is very, very big, very ebullient personality. She's like the most direct person that it's a little scary in a way when you're watching the show. But it's good because she's just willing to put herself out there and just be completely honest, which I think, I mean, for the purpose of this experiment, seems like the most important thing. You've also got Damien and Giannina, who they were the fighting couple for the show. I mean, they actually like sparred with each other. It wasn't just Jessica beating the hell out of Mark every episode. This was them really going head to head. Damien seemed to be cagey about stuff, didn't want to answer questions. There were points during the show where I turned to Jenny and I said, you know what? Damien has kids and he's not telling her.
Ooh. Wait, really?
No. It didn't happen. I was very disappointed. They cut in this scene in the show where they're like, it's while they're in Mexico. Damien and Giannina are like sunning on the bow of a boat. And Rocket is going to grumble at the door. But they're sunning themselves and she's asking like, she's just trying to get information about, like, she's just asking how he is or whatever. And he's like, look, I don't want to, or no, she was asking, well, what are we going to do when we get back? And he's like, I don't want to talk about going back. We're on vacation now. I just want to be on vacation. I don't want to talk about going back. And she was like, why are you being so cagey? And he's like, I'm not being cagey. I just don't want to talk about going back. And I just assumed from that conversation that meant there was something up in going back. There was not. It was very disappointing.
He just really liked being on vacation.
Yeah. He just really liked being on vacation. And spoiler, 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 he's the one who he claims dedication the whole time. And he's like, she's flaky. She's not into me. Whatever. He's the one who calls it off at the altar. He's like, nope, can't marry you. And which is just crazy, because it also felt very mansplaining to me, because he was basically like, look, you did everything perfectly today, but this is the only time you have. So I can't trust that this will be like this later. I need to do this to save you from yourself. And it was just like, come on, man.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I mean, obviously, like, this is this kind of show.
That sounds like breakup stuff I've gotten before. I'm breaking up with you for you, not for me.
Yeah, you just don't seem ready, and I don't want to put you through something you can't. It's like, no, shut up. Like, just own what your situation is. I am afraid that this isn't going to work. This isn't working the way I want it to. Like, those things are fine to say. But yeah, anyway, let's see. Then there was also Kenny and Kelly, who... you know anything about Kenny and Kelly?
Not at all.
So they were like super drama free the whole time, like absolutely no problems. They seemed to be getting along wonderfully, and then suddenly there's like a blip two episodes from the end, and then Kelly's like, nope, can't do it, which was weird considering how swept up in the whole thing everybody seemed.
Was it weird for somebody to actually decide at the last minute not to marry somebody they met on a reality TV show?
I mean, that's the thing, right? It's not at all weird. What's weird is that any of these people would be like, you know what? We've had about 30 days together. We spent the first 10 days talking through a pod. And I think that this is going to go the distance.
That's the weird part.
But yeah, like, what I was surprised by, though, is that Kelly called it off. She called it off. And it was kind of surprising. It surprised me. That's all. But good for everybody, you know? We saw in the wrap-up show, everybody seems to be doing great.
So how many episodes was this thing? 10?
I think, yeah. I think it was 10 episodes. yeah, I mean, what a weird show. And just kind of in the great genre that is, or the great oeuvre that is all of these like reality dating shows, I think what I admired about it was they didn't do anything that was super gross, like, hey, we're going to put a really, really interesting person who isn't attractive in here with all these other people who are like model tier. And so we have a bunch of people who just reject each other upon sight. Like, that didn't happen, which I thought was admirable. That was a good production choice, because if this were on Fox in like the 90s or early 2000s, that's all the show would have been about.
Yeah. Just how superficial are you and when does it kick in?
Yeah. I mean, do you remember The Swan? Did you remember that show?
No, I don't think I ever watched that one.
So the Swan was on probably in like 98, 99, maybe in the early 2000s. I don't remember exactly, but it was just a show about insecure women who wanted plastic surgery and going on to win said plastic surgery. And then it was a makeover show where at the end of the show, you got to see how this person changed from being a person who looked like a person into a very plasticky person. And it was sad because it was also... I don't know, because it was also sold as like, all of their problems are solved now. Look at how confident they are. And it's like, no, these issues have underlying causes that will reemerge. It doesn't matter how perfect you quote unquote look. Yeah. So at least this show didn't do that. And I admire that for it. I don't know. Do you have any final thoughts about Love is Blind?
I'm surprised and disappointed from my own point of view that there wasn't anybody lying in there either. There were no catfish.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Nobody pretended to be something they weren't, which also, because isn't that's kind of the thing with the circle?
Yeah.
Okay. is that people can catfish. They're almost encouraged to do so.
Have you watched The Circle?
Not yet.
That one is amazing, by the way.
Okay.
It's kind of the same thing where these people are put into, not pods, but apartments. And okay. They're not allowed to have any contact with the outside world while they're in there. And the only communication they can have is with the other people in the circle via what's essentially basically text messaging. It says it's all voice activated, but it's not really. I'm sure that there's like closed caption people writing everything they say down for them. But I mean, the gist of it is that they don't hear any voices. They just see typed messages to each other.
With an associated profile picture, right?
Yeah, with an associated profile with a picture. And
because this is the one I think you mentioned it before, that like there were guys pretending to be girls and stuff because it's all about just being most liked.
Yeah, so some men pretended to be women, some women pretended to be younger women, some women pretended to be older men. Like, everybody was just trying to figure out, like, what personality they could portray that would make them the most popular. And I kind of expected Love is Blind to have an aspect of that. I guess it wouldn't really work, because when somebody proposed to you and you met them, you'd be like, ha, psych. I don't know why it
could if you catfished on your entire backstory.
But at least on The Circle, there was like, they were playing for a prize and they were voting on who they liked the most, and whoever got the most votes won the prize. Here, whoever you like the most proposes to you, and then like, what do you get out of that? Like, nothing.
Yeah. Then you're emotionally shattered because you've been deceived into loving someone who does not exist.
Yeah, so that's probably better that people weren't catfishing, but from a viewer standpoint, I think that would be hilarious.
Oh,
but
man. Well, yeah, that's why there should have been all sorts of weird, like, people with voices that were hard to distinguish and stuff like that, you know, like,
yeah, like auto-tune it, or yeah, like kidnapper, like, I'm really into reality TV.
Give me back my son. just had to quote Ransom with Mel Gibson. I agree with you. I think that could have made this show more interesting. I mean, it was still like, it was fun to watch people do this. It was also like, hey, it was clear some people were treating it like what it was, a reality show, and some people were like, no, I really am in love with somebody, and that was cool. But you know, they had to pad it with a lot of drama that was sort of like, look, at any point, one of the producers could have walked in and told Mark, like, hey, Mark, look, Jessica is on camera dozens of times basically talking shit on you. You probably should stop putting your eggs in this basket. I know you like her, but it's not gonna work out. She is going to bail.
But that's and, real also.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. I mean, to an extent, like, his friends all told him, and I mean, anybody could tell anybody anything, right? And you're still gonna follow your heart and do the stupid leap thing when the stupid leap things happen in our lives. So, yeah. Hey, so I'm going to, Shannon, I'm going to have you rate the one episode you watched on a scale of 1 to 10. I'm going to rate it as well, just for the heck of it, because otherwise we don't have any sort of points structure, and I need to use that points chime on the episode. I'm going to give Love is Blind a 6 out of 10.
Oh, so obviously I wasn't a huge fan, because I watch all the crap on TV, and I couldn't even get through the first episode. So I think I'm going to have to give it, I'm going to give it a 4.
Okay.
But I'm going to give all the BuzzFeed articles and all the like media around it like a 7, because that was pretty interesting to watch.
Nice. So it averages out to like a 5.5.
Yeah. So I didn't actually want to sit through the episodes, but I loved watching clips. I believe there was a clip where Jessica was like giving her dog wine from her glass, and then she drank from the same glass. Like,
yes.
That moment alone is like a 9 right there. That was pretty disgusting.
Yeah, she definitely had a much deeper emotional connection with that dog than she ever did with Mark.
So I think overall, I'm glad that it exists, but I didn't necessarily want to watch it myself.
Great. Okay, so let's talk about what you've been watching. You said you've been watching a lot of zombie apocalyptic fare of late.
So when all this started, and by all this I mean self-isolation, I got really comforted by going back to Outbreak and Contagion for some reason.
Sure.
Outbreak being the superior of the two, in my opinion.
But you just wanted to watch Gwyneth Paltrow die again.
But I did want to watch Gwyneth Paltrow die again, because, yeah, always, every day, I'd be into that. And I kind of like the message at the end where it's like, oh, we serve, like, the world changed, but we survived this, and, like, people figured it out, and, like, sure, some people were shitty, but overall, like, Matt Damon threw his daughter a prom, and so everything's okay, and they didn't bomb the town in California, and, you know, yeah. Everything works out. So I just got inspired to look up some more pandemic movies, and it turns out the majority of them are about people turning into zombies. There aren't a ton of movies about pandemics where people don't turn into zombies, but I did find two. One is Carriers from 2009.
Okay. Carriers?
Carriers, starring Chris Pine.
Oh.
Piper Perabo and Emily Van Camp. Yeah. And Christopher Maloney.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
Star-studded.
So that is one. Here, I'll read you the IMDb. As a lethal virus spreads globally, four friends seek a reputed plague-free haven. But while avoiding the inflicted, the travelers turn on one another. So right. Kind of that Walking Dead thing where it's like, yeah, there's a plague, but the real enemy is ourselves.
Yeah, man is always the greatest plague of all.
So Carriers was the first one I watched. It was okay. I wasn't super into that. Then I watched one called Right at Your Door. Starring Rory Cochrane, which you might remember from Empire Records.
Oh yeah, and the Philip K. Dick adaptation. Scanner Darkly. He's in that, rotoscoped.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
I think he's also on CSI Miami.
I think he is too. Yeah.
And also starring Mary McCormick, who was in Plain Sight on USA, the female version of Burn Notice.
Ah, Lady Burn Notice.
Lady Burn Notice. I really liked this one. This is about a dirty bomb going off in LA and spreading a toxic cloud, and people are quarantining inside their house.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
That was probably my favorite of the ones I watched. So I would recommend that, Right at Your Door.
Okay.
I got like six. How many of these do you want to go through?
No, keep going.
All right. Hidden. Which is about a family that takes refuge in a bomb shelter to avoid an outbreak, starring Alexander Skarsgård.
Ooh, yeah. He's a hunk.
He's hunky. and Andrea Riseborough, who you don't know her name, but you will recognize her as the titular character from Mandy.
Oh, she's, yeah, great.
Her favorite Nicolas Cage movie.
It's such a good movie. And it's about an outbreak of its own kind.
If the outbreak is devil motorcyclists?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, maybe it's more of an inbreak, but still. It's serious.
But yeah, so Hidden was my second favorite. So it's about a family, mom, a dad, and a daughter living in a bomb shelter while there's a plague above them. Quarantine, which is the American version of Rec, which was a Spanish movie about a TV reporter and her cameraman being trapped inside a building quarantined by the CDC after an outbreak of a mysterious virus, which turns humans into bloodthirsty killers.
I remember the preview for this movie because it's a found footage style thing, right?
Yep. Because the cameraman is filming everything.
I remember the clip because it's like that low light camera, green and black sort of thing. And then and then she gets like pulled by the ankles out of frame or something. Or someone does.
Starring the sister from Dexter.
Okay. Nice. Dexter's sister. Great. Good for her. Isn't she married to Dexter though? Or they dated?
I think they dated. I don't think they're married.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That would be weird to be like, hey, we're brother and sister on this show.
I think they dated they were married. They were married from 2008 to 2011.
Wow. Just during the show. And they were like, this is no longer creatively functional. No,
you're not my brother. I'm not as
Oh, shit. Oh, no.
There's also a Quarantine 2.
Whoa.
which is where a plane is taken over by a mysterious virus. And in the movie, they actually talk about hearing about the first quarantine. So it's the same world.
Oh, so it's like a Sharknado situation with quarantines.
Basically. Basically. At this point, it started to go a little off the rails. My next one was Splinter, which was about people trapped in an isolated gas station by a parasite that transformed its still-living victims into deadly hosts.
Okay.
That one was terrible. Starring, what do you know this guy from? His name's Paolo Costanzo.
Okay.
You would know him from, oh, he was the younger brother in Royal Pains.
Okay. Yeah. I know who that is. He's got curly hair.
Yep.
He's been a secondary or tertiary character on a number of sitcoms, I think.
Yeah.
Wait, was Paolo Costanzo in Road Trip?
Yes.
Yeah. He's the stoner guy in Road Trip. He's the one who goes, he hangs out with the old man and they smoke weed and then the dog's like, hey man, you're pretty fucked up. It's great.
Yep, that's him.
Good to know he's getting work.
At least he was in 2008 when this movie was made.
Oh man.
Oh, The Colony, which I couldn't even finish, starring Lawrence Fishburne and Bill Paxton.
Oh.
Forced in underground by the next ice age, a struggling outpost of survivors fights to preserve humanity. I was really kind of pushing it on that one.
Yeah, but I mean, it's people isolated against a powerful external foe.
Yeah, that's where I was going.
Yeah, I like it.
And then Extinction, starring Jack from Lost and Burn Notice.
Nice.
Overnight, the world comes to a halt. Two survivors, one child, and a hatred that separates them. Two men, one child, and a hatred that separates them. A place forgotten by everyone, including the creatures that inhabit the earth, until now.
Wow. That is a lofty tagline. Or just, oh, man. Great.
Yeah,
was that good?
3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 movies I found about people quarantining and trying to survive while isolated. And I don't know that you'll actually be able to find any of them so that we can discuss them next week. But
well, here's what I'll do. I will look for some of them.
I'll send you the list.
Yeah, I wrote them down.
Oh, okay.
I'm writing them down, yeah. So I will look for some, and if I can just knock a couple out before next week, we'll talk about them. You've watched the movie Cabin Fever, right? The Ryder Strong.
Early
2000s.
There are a bunch more that I had already seen. These were all new ones to me, but Cabin Fever, I would definitely rewatch and talk about.
Because Cabin Fever is like that sprung to mind for me is like, it's not really a quarantining movie, but it is a movie about some sort of disease spreads in the water and. One of the Phillips daughters gets it. Wait, no. Who is it that gets it?
I mean, they all get it in the end, don't they?
Yeah. Yeah, they all get it in the end. It's a killer disease. Not to put too fine a point on anything.
I don't know. I don't know, though, because I know that these movies, like, they freak a lot of people out. But for me, I do find them comforting in some way because the main characters always end up surviving.
Oh, yeah. And as long as we're the main characters in our own stories, we will always survive.
Yeah.
I always like when watching any of these sorts of things, like I always enjoy them for the fact that there is a certain, like, you usually get to see the machinations of things trying to fight it. And if it can't be fought, you usually get some sort of sense of things going on anyway, which I think those are valuable things to know. You know, last week on the show when Jenny and I were talking, I quoted my dinosaur sweatshirt that I have that says, things will be okay. which, you know, I always just think, well, yeah, I mean, things will be okay. Maybe not all of us, but things will be okay.
That is the problem, is that things will be okay, but not necessarily on an individual level.
No, not.
It's trying to hold on to the fact that things will be okay, but it's also trying to mitigate the damage done to as many individuals as possible and figure out what we can do to help.
Well, exactly. And that's why I know you had been working from home all of the previous week, as well as this week now. So
I'm on like day 14 now.
Yeah. And I've been, this is day 8 of working from home and just like only going outside to walk the dogs and once to get groceries, a couple times to the post office, nothing else. And yeah. And that's the thing is we all really need to do this because it sure seems like certain people are getting impatient with how long it takes. And those certain people might not be smart enough to know that they're going to kill us all.
Oh,
so that's fun.
Oh my God. I hate him so much.
Oh, I know. Well, and the upside is like, you know, again, like you mentioned the privilege of working at home. Like I'm lucky to be in that position too, where at least for now, even if there's this push to like, let's just go back to normal. It's like, no, I can still stay home and just do my shit.
Yeah.
And that'll be okay because we're going to need like, this is going to probably come down to people being smart enough and smarter than leadership in some ways. I mean, we'll see. There's still a lot of stuff to be told at this point, but it is a fucked up existence right now.
Yeah.
Shannon, do you have anything you want to plug?
Yes, I would like to plug that you should, if you are able, you should do as much as you can to support your local businesses, and that includes restaurants, your hairstylist, if you have a house cleaner, if you have a trainer, if you have anyone in the service industry that you work with on a regular basis, you have that money budgeted to take care of them. Continue to help them out. You know, if you, Nate and I were talking last night, we go play trivia every week. We have money budgeted to take care of our wait staff. Like, we're trying to find our wait staff right now to see if we can continue to, like, tip them. Maybe it won't make the biggest difference in the world, but, you know, maybe it'll help. So just don't cut off the people in your life just because they aren't doing the services that they normally would do, because you hopefully are if you are in a position where you can continue that, buy gift certificates, prepay for stuff, do whatever you can to help out your neighbors and the people you work with, and especially people in the service industry. They need it right now. And so if you can, keep those lines open.
Yeah, I think that's wonderfully said. Cause yeah, I mean, it's a really weird time for a lot of people. And if we can do more to just order takeout or delivery, get people to continued work in some capacity. So even if we can't support individual wait persons directly, at least you're saying like, hey, we want you to still have a place of employment later.
Yeah.
It's key.
I canceled my hair appointment, so I'm going to have the worst roots in the world when this is over. But, you know, my hairstylist, I was like, hey, let me buy a gift certificate so that when this is over, you know, you'll take care of me for free then, but you'll have the money now. Like,
sure.
You can do stuff like that. And a lot of restaurants are selling off their inventory. So if you're in a neighborhood, go walk by your local restaurant and see if they're doing that. Again, maybe you can't take care of their wait staff, but you can help ensure that they'll be open to rehire that wait staff when all this is over.
Yeah, you gotta, and ideally we'll get to a point where, you know, landlords and mortgage holders and things will all forgive rent for a little bit so that these things are a little less tenuous.
Have you heard what's going on in Canada?
Huh?
Have you heard about what's going on in Canada?
No. What's going on in Canada?
They're giving everybody $950 every 2 weeks, and they are suspending mortgage payments for 6 months. And there was a third thing. I can't remember now. But, I mean, yeah, basically, I mean, yeah, Americans hate the S word, but if they saw what Canada was doing right now, they would all want to be like Canada.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's the thing is if we just put a pause on debt for 4 months, everything would change because, I mean, and debt from top to bottom. So it's like, you know, banks don't owe debt, mortgage holders don't owe debt, renters don't owe debt, everything.
Yeah.
If you hold that up, everybody can have a chance to stop scrambling, because a lot of, you know, so much of our economy is over leveraged and built on debt, and that's not great. And it's a result of policies that aren't great. Okay. So
hey, what would you like to plug?
I am going to plug Staying Inside, because a lot of people are going to still want to just go out and dink around. And as much as we all do, it's time to suck it up. This is our lost generation, greatest generation moment, where we get to, instead of going to Europe to fight a war, we just have to stay inside for like 2 weeks. And if we can just do that, we can really tamp down, you know, we can flatten the curve, and we can hopefully prevent a lot of deaths that aren't necessary. You know, it remains to be seen what the current administration is going to do on relieving some of the restrictions and things. I don't agree with that idea, but hey, I'm not in charge. But yeah, I think it's that. And then I would also like to say big thank you to Michael J. O'Connor for our theme song, which you guys heard at the top of the show. He just put out an EP, maybe it's an LP even, of ska music that he's written over the course of the last couple of weeks. You should check it out. You go to michaeljoconnor.bandcamp.com. It's great to have a lot of content to listen to watch, to experience during this time, because none of us are adept at dealing with silence now. So it's really probably for the best that we have a lot going on. And then, yeah, I just kind of like to plug us and like, hey, you know, if you guys like this show, thank you so much for listening, and just tell some people that we're here. You can check out the A Vague Idea podcast online group thing on Facebook. We're going to continue to play Pamu Pam de Terre online, among other things. And yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. Shannon, do you have any final thoughts before we depart?
I miss seeing your face, and
I hear you. Like it's weird to not. It's weird to not record. I mean, my phone popped up with like, oh yeah, Kelly Attaway was supposed to be on the show this week. Not happening. But hopefully, we'll get all the people that we've had booked for this last month and beyond rebooked, so that we can get back on schedule and do this thing back at Steno. StenoDenver.com. It'll be a great place to co-work when co-working is once again a reasonable and healthy thing to do.
Thing, but yeah, in the meantime, we can all be patient.
Yeah.
It's a tough thing, that especially in this world of instant gratification with social media, nobody's really used to anymore, but just be patient. We'll all get back to our regularly scheduled lives soon.
Yeah. I mean, imagine this is like if we had cut out the little form in the back of a comic book for some X-ray specs and we mail it in, and we have to wait 6 to 8 weeks.
That's a good analogy. I like it. Just Shannon, wait for your X-ray specs.
Yeah, wait for your X-ray specs. Shannon, thanks for doing this. Let's we'll try to do it again next week. I will I'll try to knock down a couple of those quarantine related films that you recommended. And
if you can't find them, we'll pick something else though.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. Listeners, we're gonna figure it out. Don't worry. We got the best minds on it. All the best scientists. So yeah, thank you guys for listening to A Vague Idea. And take care of yourselves. And yeah, may God have mercy on your souls. But aww, seriously, take care of yourselves. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
A Vague Idea is written and produced by me, Nate Regolia, with Shannon Page and sometimes John Perros. Information about topics often come from Wikipedia, so hey, why not donate a bit to that? Sound effects are Creative Commons public domain. If you like this podcast, tell a few people, and subscribe, rate, and review us wherever you listen. And if you happen to like reading science fiction, check out the small press I started with my friend Sean Grokowski. You can find Spaceboy Books at readspaceboy.com.